Shall we turn together to the book of Romans, the epistle to the Romans in chapter 10, reading one verse only, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now we trust the Lord will bless to us this reading from His Word. In nights past we have sought to sound a note of warning. We have sought to show the impossibility of obtaining God's salvation by our own efforts. We have preached on some well-known texts and sought to show the way of salvation as found alone in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not found in religion. It is not found in good works or in any efforts of my own, but found alone in the person of God's beloved Son. I feel satisfied there are some in the meeting and they know their need, conscious that they are not right for eternity, and earnestly desiring to have this all-important question settled. My dear friend, it is to you that I want to address my remarks this evening. If you follow what we have in this lovely verse, you could be saved before you leave the building. Listen to the simplicity of the message and the clarity with which it comes from the pen of the Apostle Paul. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember now, we are bringing before you the Word of God, the plain statement of the inspired Word of God. It cannot be altered. It cannot be contradicted. It stands firm. When heaven and earth have passed away, God said, my Word remains. There are two requirements you will notice in this verse. To believe in thine heart and to confess with thy mouth. But what have we to believe? To believe that God raised him, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead. Now, to believe that God raised him from the dead, we must believe that he died. And I'm satisfied, dear friends, that as we have sought to preach the gospel night after night, you would not question the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross and rose again. But to believe that God raised him from the dead is to acknowledge that he has completed the work that God gave him to do. To believe that God raised him from the dead is to acknowledge that God is absolutely satisfied with his Son. To believe that God raised him from the dead is to believe in the truth of the gospel, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Oh, dear friend, listen to the words from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I want to tell you, dear friend, that here is something that we can be absolutely certain of. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen. This is the greatest proven fact in human history. Friend, if we reject this, we must reject all history. Because here is something that was documented beyond question, that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The angels declared, he is not here, he is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And witness after witness comes forward. We can speak of the woman, of Mary, of those to whom he appeared on resurrection morn. We could bring you to the testimony of the disciples. We could bring you to the testimony of individuals. James saw him. Peter saw him. The Apostle Paul saw him in glory. And John the Apostle himself saw him on the Isle of Patmos. There is absolutely no question in relation to the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse says that we are to believe that God raised him from the dead. I'm sure that as you sit in this meeting tonight, there is not one question in your mind in relation to this. Someone might say, but what does it mean to believe in the heart? Friend, it's not just a mental consent. It is believing with absolute sincerity, with absolute reality, that the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And I know as I look down from this platform that there are many in this company, you would like to be saved. And here is God's way of salvation, clear and plain. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you prepared this evening to acknowledge and confess Jesus Christ as Lord? You know, that was a tremendous thing in New Testament times. The Lord Jesus Christ was known as the carpenter of Nazareth, as the despised one, as the one whom the chief priests and the rulers and those in authority, they looked down upon. They set him at naught. And yet, he was none less than the Son of God, the Lord from heaven. And for those dear people to acknowledge that Jesus of Nazareth was Lord, many of them had to leave their homes and they were cut off from society because of their confession of the Lordship of Christ. It does not cost us so much today, but I want to tell you, dear friend, the truth of this verse is just the same. If we are prepared to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. But you say, doesn't it mean something more than that? Friend, I want you to look at the verse carefully. I want you to consider it carefully. There is nothing difficult, nothing complicated. God's way of salvation is set forth in this one verse, clear and plain, that none might misunderstand. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But what does it mean to confess that Jesus is Lord? Our friend, it means just this, that I take the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I acknowledge him as Lord. In other words, it simply means that I change masters. You know, until the night I was saved, I was interested in my own will and interested in my own desires. And really, I was following the pursuits of sin and I was serving the devil. But the night I got saved, I changed masters and I acknowledged Jesus Christ is Lord. In other words, I said, I'm finished with the world. I'm finished with my sin. I'm finished with my own pleasures and interests and desires. And from today, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's going to take complete control of my life. That's what the Apostle Paul did yonder on the Damascus Road when smitten down at midday. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And then he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He realized that the one who appeared to him on the Damascus Road was the one who had been nailed to the cross, but now risen and exalted to the glory of heaven, and the Apostle Paul acknowledged him as Lord. Friend, I wonder, are you prepared to acknowledge tonight Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? Prepared to acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ alone is worthy of the supreme place in your heart and in your life. I tell you, if you come with me by faith outside Jerusalem's walls and see that blessed man who knew no sin, who did no sin, and in him was no sin, that perfect man nailed to a cross, and realize that there he was taking your place, taking my place, bearing our sins on his own body on the tree, suffering the judgment and wrath of Almighty God that we should have endured forever because of our sin. Oh, dear friend, I want to tell you, the speaker was a sinner just like you, unfit for the presence of God. And I realized that if I died in my sins, I'd be in hell. And I acknowledged that God would be righteous in consigning me to the lake of fire, because within my heart was rebellion and sin against the God of heaven. But the night I was saved, I turned in repentance. I acknowledged my sin, and I cried to God for mercy. And that night I confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. I took him to be my Lord and my Savior. And let me ask you, when you think of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and in enduring the judgment of God there upon Calvary's cross, how could we do anything else? Only acknowledge him as Lord. He has borne the awful penalty of sin and made it possible that you and I could enter into the blessing of sins forgiven and everlasting life, if only we are prepared to accept him. Listen to it again. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God says that, friend. You're prepared to bow your will to the Lord Jesus Christ, prepared to acknowledge him as Lord, believing in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. The word of God says, thou shalt be saved. Friend, it's not thou shalt feel saved. It may be there are some in the company and you'd like to be saved. Indeed, if you're anything like I was just before I was saved, you'd be prepared to give everything you possess that you might know your sins forgiven. But I want to tell you, friend, you don't have to give anything. The price has been paid. The work has been done. My blessed Lord cried, it is finished. And all you have to do is accept it. It may be that you are waiting for some great experience, something extraordinary, imagining that you're going to see a light or a vision. My friend, that's not salvation. But the word of God says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It couldn't be any clearer, friend. You're prepared to accept the testimony of the speaker. Prepared to believe your friends. Prepared to trust the word of those you know. And yet, not prepared to believe God. The Word of God says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you prepared to rest upon that, friend? Listen, it's God who is speaking. He cannot lie. His promises are absolutely certain. He says, thou shalt be saved. I want to bury this text in your heart this evening. I want you to get the truth and the simplicity of the way of salvation into your very soul this evening. My dear man, whatever your past may be, however great a sinner you may be, however guilty before God, this verse applies to you just as it applied to the speaker. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Friend, you can be saved right now before you leave this gospel meeting if you are prepared to do just what this verse says. Believing in your heart and confessing with your lips. Or you say, I don't know if I'd be prepared to do that. I don't know if I'd be prepared to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord before my neighbors and before my friends and before my chums. Listen, friend, I want to tell you, for those who refuse to acknowledge Christ as Lord in time, for those who refuse to accept Him as their Savior now, there is a day coming when my Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But then it will be too late, friend. It will be too late. Now is God's day of grace. Now the gospel is being sounded forth. Now the message of salvation is being offered, as we have been hearing. It's being offered to the whosoever will. You can be saved. Older friend in the meeting, younger friend, you can be saved tonight. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Tell me, did the apostle speak about working, or praying, or doing penance, are going to church, when the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? No, dear friend, the reply of the Apostle Paul with Silas's partner was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, you say, I've heard the gospel often. I know the way of salvation. I could tell others how to get to heaven. And yet you're still in your sins. My dear friend, I do trust that someone may be prepared just now in the meeting to acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner, deserving of God's wrath and judgment, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledge Him as Lord. Believing in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, and the promise of God is, the Word of God says, thou shalt be saved.